3, and a key verse here, verse number 15, 1 Timothy 3:15. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason for the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as evildoers, they may be ashamed, that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to be strengthened and fortified in this most important ministry, giving answers and, Lord, going to people with your word and standing for the defence of the word of God. I pray, dear Father, that this morning's session would further enhance our understanding, and Lord, that we would be standing for you in these days, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, the introduction to the course, page number 6. Page number 6. And here Dr. Cloud shares a little bit of the work that has gone into the preparation of this. A life of ministry and preparation has gone into this booklet. And so make the most of it. And so he's included all sorts of information that he has gleaned by personal work around the globe. It's first, the course is built on 40 years of serious Bible study. And you'd have to say that very clearly of Dr. Cloud. He knows the Word of God in the Way of Life Encyclopedia of Bible and Christianity, his book Things Hard to Be Understood, and a 20-volume advanced Bible study series. I don't think he needs to justify the reason why he has this information. He has worked hard over the years, 40 years. Secondly, 30 years of apologetic research and writing, and has been a major thrust in his ministry in the O. Timothy magazine, which is put out regularly and has done for a number of years. And the author has an extensive library, 6,000 volumes, hundreds of titles on evolution, archaeology, and general apologetics. So there are a lot of things available out there to help us, and of course this course is vital in that regard. Third, the course is built on visits to major museums. And he's had a whole number of museums to look at. How many museums would the Aussie be looking at if we went to all the museums? Maybe if we got to 5 or 10, we'd be more than ahead. But he tells us here about 14 different sources, different places. The Museum of Man in San Diego, the Smithsonian Natural History Museum, the American Natural History Museum, the Yale Peabody Museum, the Chicago Field Museum, the Burke Museum of Natural History in Seattle, the Pennsylvanian University Museum, Michigan State University Museum, the Oriental Institute of Chicago, the Australia Museum, and the National Archaeological Museum of Athens, the Louvre in Paris, the British Museum, British Museum of Natural History, Istanbul Archaeological Museum, and the homes of Charles and Erasmus Darwin. And there's quite some gleanings in their homes too, that some of it would make your hair stand on end. So he certainly put the work into going to these places personally and observing what they're saying, and picking up obvious mistakes that have been made by old-timers. Number 4, the course is built on archaeological and historical research trips in England, Europe, Turkey, Greece and Israel. So he's been there, been and seen these amazing sites. So that's important as well. The archaeology is important. The fifth then, the course is built on experience prior to conversion. Remember, he had got caught up in New Age and Hinduism, and that had given him invaluable insights into those types of things and the arguments that are being put up by people in those areas. And then he's done 20 years' experience with the Hindu and Buddhist culture in South Asia. Then, of course, many years' experience in preaching to prisoners. That'd be educational, for sure. Preaching to prisoners and university students. So he certainly had a lot of experience there and personal experience in these matters. And the videos and the clips used in the program are all been done in the context of his research for this particular series. What are the objects of the course? Number one, to protect you. You need to know what you believe and why you believe it, and to stand on what you believe. Some believers are just blown by every wind of change, and they don't know what they believe and where they're at. And so, of course, when they come up against these arguments against the Bible and against Christianity, they get swept off their feet. So he says it's important to protect yourself, for you to know what you believe, because the media is putting out things all the time that are contrary to the Bible and are deceptive in their presentation. He says churches must prepare their people to face the onslaught of end time scepticism and apostasy. There's plenty of that around. Problem is, the average Baptist church, he's thinking about in America, Southern and independent, simply not preparing young people to face the scepticism of the hour. And we find here in Australia that we need to face these issues. Many times we have to face these before we can win somebody, let alone overlook them. But the problem is that the young people are not getting the teaching that they need. He brings out the experience of this Edward O. Wilson, who is a prominent evolutionist now. And when he was 15, he joined a Southern Baptist church, was quite enthusiastic about the whole thing. But then at 17, it says he lost his faith. Now, this terminology, he lost his faith, I'd like to suggest that he never really had it. If he lost it that easily, that's because there are a few skeptics speaking against it. So at the age of 17, simply he did not know what he was in for in going into the lion's den, amen? He didn't know, he hadn't been prepared, and he was swept off his feet when he heard evolutionary theory. And it's amazing how some people are so easily swayed. And he talks about two Southern Baptist ministers who also lost their faith because they heard what Richard Dawkins said. And in case you think that's a long way away, I heard a YouTube clip of a preacher that used to be local who's listened to Richard Dawkins, and now he says, believe nothing and question everything. So he's foolishly been swept off the path. And I think this is true, what Cloud is bringing out in the series here, that these people lacked a vital experience of salvation. There are many that just do the easy, quick prayer, swept off their feet that way, but then when the counter comes in, they don't know what to say, and their faith is not real and vital, and to see them through. Now the Bible tells us of the many infallible truths. Many infallible truths. Go to Acts chapter 1 there quickly. Acts chapter 1. And Acts chapter 1 and verse 3. And Luke is a great historian, really, doctor and historian, and does a great job of presenting the facts of the early church there. Chapter 1, verse 3. To whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Now this is something that most people are ignorant of and a lot of believers don't pick up on. After the resurrection, Christ rose, and then after the resurrection, he spent a lot of time, Mrs. Ringwald, he spent a lot of time actually looking at these matters. The Lord Jesus then spent 40 days ministering. 40 days. So that's a lot of ministry, isn't it? This is after he rose from the dead. And that was the situation there. And so it was that he wrote down these historical truths concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. So indeed, believers need to be protected from the attacks of the evil one through these falsehoods. So also to prepare you to help other believers. And I think it's God's purpose, according to Hebrews 5, that we be people that can share our faith and teach others also, especially the men, that we should be able to pass it on and teach others also, that they can teach others also. And that instead of being swept off our feet by what is said by the opponents, we have a good answer from the Word of God for them. Every child of God should have the objective of growing in Christ and learning his word so that he can help disciple others. Then to prepare you to challenge unbelievers. Prepare you to challenge unbelievers. That is the third consequence here. Many times we put this as the first reason to go for it and to learn these truths. But here is placed on the third list, on the end of the list, because unless you're prepared and your own family, your children and those around about you are prepared and have the answers, then how can indeed you withstand? So it's to prepare you, to prepare other believers, and then to reach out to the lost. Paul's aim was to defend the gospel. He was there for the defence of the gospel. Paul believed in a defence of his faith. In Philippians 1 and verse 7 and verse 17, I am set for the confirmation of the gospel. So he's set for the defence and confirmation of the gospel. The Apostle Paul then in Athens, we see him on Athens hill there presenting a great apologetic evangelistic message in chapter 17, verses 18 to 34. So we live in a needy world. I don't think we need much encouragement in that idea that we live in a needy world and there is so much skepticism and so much opposition to the truth of the Word of God. Talks about a few fellows here that were converted because they were willing to face the truth concerning the creation. And so these people were helped in that way, a couple of people. No doubt, I guarantee that there are people here today. Put up your hand if you were an evolutionist and you had to be converted over. Is there anybody that was that way? One. Well, that's good. Praise God. Anyone? Did I miss some? Oh, Brother Derek. Thank you. Yes, so some have had that experience as well, and no doubt would have an interesting testimony, and we don't have time for that testimony today. But thank God people are still being saved, and people are still getting the information. And there is more and more data and information now about creation than there was in the past. And some of it also is beautifully presented. So the Bible warns against an explosion of unbelief and skepticism at the end of the age. 2 Peter 3, 1-5 tells there concerning the last days and the apostasy that will come. And in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 13, it says apostasy and error will grow throughout the age. We can see this increasing all around us, and we need to realise that this is the real world out there. So he gives a few examples here of people who, earlier on the 19th century and others, that saw some of the scepticism and changes creeping in. And he even quotes Mr. Spurgeon there around the 1880s, who saw the places of worship being affected and attendance is diminishing in some places because of the scepticism which has flashed from the pulpit and spread among the people. That's Mr. Spurgeon in 1887. Well, since then there has been a multiplication and a spreading of those types of things, and there's all kinds of people out there on YouTube and other places which I don't visit, by the way, at all, and thank God for that. And so there is so much happening out there, so much scepticism and modernism attacking the Word of God. This is so not only among young people. Oftentimes we talk about the young people, but it's happening also with the older people that should know better, senior citizens that ought to be getting ready for heaven instead of sowing doubts and disbelief concerning the truths of the gospel and the Lord Jesus Christ. So the evidence for God's existence is irrefutable, and only willful blindness accounts for its rejection. So the evidence is there. The creation of God is great evidence. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. It's really undisputable. And these people, it's amazing how these people that attack, they're attacking God. And if they were true to their philosophy, how can they attack something which doesn't exist? Amen? Now it shows that something is happening there within them, and they're resisting the Holy Spirit, I believe. They're resisting the things that they see around about them and putting them off. And there are many reasons why they're putting them off, but one of the big ones is they love their sin. Because if they come to realise the truth of God, they'll have to make some changes in their lifestyle. Huxley's grandson says that he liked the ideas because that released him, gave him liberty to do his thing, to live his own lifestyle. So thank God that these things concerning the creation of God are not able to be disputed, are they? That people come up with all sorts of other weird ideas, and now they can hold to those weird ideas. A spaceman visiting and zapping the primeval soup, you know. That's ridiculous. And yet they believe that and not the Word of God, which is sound and undisputed. So there we go. The things concerning the creation are clearly placarded before them day by day. And yet they deny it and walk away. And so that's the thing. Once you have presented the message of creation to these people, only prayer can help them Only the Lord can help them and turn them around. So we need to pray for such types. He cannot be reasoned into belief in God through human philosophy. And this is often tried by some people to turn people around through pressurized philosophy and just endless arguments. And it only creates more problems than it answers. So some things are necessary for effective apologetics. And these are the things that are necessary if you're going to be effective in standing for the gospel. And of course, there must be a real salvation, a salvation which is real. Salvation means that we are to take the helmet of salvation. Our mind is to be protected by the saving experience and by a real experience of Jesus Christ. And of course, if it's on a day-to-day basis, walking with the Lord, what a difference that is. And then the believer has power from the Lord to speak for Christ. Next thing, of course, is obedience. We need to learn to walk in obedience to God. Men love darkness because their deeds are evil, the Bible says. And you can't be effective as a witness for Christ to defend the faith if you're not obedient to the Lord and walking in the way that is pleasing to Him and His Word. Taking an apologetics course like this will not protect you if you are not separate from evil and guard your heart from meditating upon those things that displease the Lord. So many believers are walking half in the world, half in the Lord, and it's not working either way, and they need to be born again. So knowledge of God's word also is important. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. How important it is to have your sword and to know the word of God and to answer people from the word of God. It's amazing even how a lot of these so-called doctors and professors, it's amazing how ignorant they are of the truths of the word of God. It's obvious that they haven't really opened the Bible and studied them for themselves. The Bible is saying the opposite to what they're saying. It's obvious then that they have no understanding of the word of God. So the pursuit of Bible knowledge, of course, should be the desire of every believer. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And that's, of course, what we need. Dr. Cloud gives a testimony here, an interesting testimony. I recall that the man that led me to Jesus Christ in the summer of 73, his name was Ron Walker. And he knew his Bible. That was the thing that first impressed me about him. And that is the reason I was willing to travel with him and hear more about Christ, which led to his conversion. I told him my religious and philosophical views, and he replied with scripture. I said, "I believe in the reincarnation." He replied, Hebrews 9:27, and the Bible says it is appointed unto man once to die, and after death the judgment. So the word of God says that there's a time to die and a judgment, and no reincarnation. I said, "I believe that man should follow his heart." He replied, Jeremiah 17:9, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, and who can know it?" We cannot trust our own hearts. I said, "I believe that as long as a man is sincere in his belief, God will accept him." He replied, Proverbs 14:12, "There is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the ends thereof are the ways of death." According to the Bible, a man can be sincerely wrong and be judged of God. I said, if a man can't trust his own heart, And sincerity, how is it possible then to know the truth? He replied, Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Also, God has given us his revelation in the Bible. And this is a divinely inspired book of God, the Word of God. It is the truth. It says he got so interested in what the man was saying in his Bible answers that he decided to travel with him. And at that time, a cloud was just travelling, just drifting around the country, and a seeker really, and met up with this fella on the road, and he took time to share with him, led to his own salvation. I got so interested in the conversation and so impressed with his knowledge of Scripture that I travelled with him for about 4 days, and on our last night together I repented and cast myself upon Christ and his word. That was his salvation. Now he says it's also important to have faith. To have faith. Without faith it is impossible to please God. Hebrews 11:6. We need to believe God and to believe his word. If you've got any doubts, you are not a candidate for soul winning and for apologetics. If you've got doubts, you need to sort those doubts and get things sorted properly. So when we show the unbeliever the arguments of design from nature and the incredible complexity of the human body, 11 major systems that all are reliant upon each other, point to an almighty God who moved, and we can point people to the Lord God. So Dawkins obviously is going to criticise all of that and not believe that. But who'd want to be going where he's going, amen? Who'd want to have such poor attitudes and arguments in life? So Romans chapter 1 and verse number 20, Romans 1:20, page 12. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. It's clearly seen out there and in here as well. Look at all these bodies sitting around here. Old and young. What an amazing creation it is. I was talking to my doctor the other day and he says it's a finely tuned balancing. Finely tuned balancing of our lives and so forth. And he was talking about some of the medication I'm on, it's a finely tuned balance and needs to be carefully observed. And thank God for the good health that is enjoyed. So also faith then, faith on page 12 there, the second paragraph. Further, faith in God keeps us from being dragged down to the skeptic's level on various aspects, such as questioning 6 days of creation and Noah's Ark. Aren't those the two things all the time that it goes down to, the bottom line? What about Noah's Ark? Well, there was a good book written by Dr. Morris on the Ark on Ararat, I think it's called. Well, one Sunday morning I preached on Noah's Ark and I held up the book and said, it'd be good if you've got problems with this, take the book, read it for yourself. Jim Cox took the book home that afternoon because that was the thing that he made a joke about and always stirring up the Christians. How Noah's Ark, you know, how could Noah get all those animals on a little tub like that? And he mocked his family who were all saved. He was the last one in the family. Anyway, he took the book home, read it through and he was amazed. He got the dimensions of the ark and all the different things about it that he had never considered before. So he read that book through the day and he was one of the first there Sunday night. The word of God was preached. The invitation was given. And Jim Cox made his way down the aisle and got wonderfully saved. I couldn't stop him from getting out on visitation. though he had developed lung cancer. Poor fellow. But he had about, I don't know, 5 or 10 years, good years as a believer. And then went to heaven, of course. But, he got saved. And he was amazed at those truths that you find at the dimensions of the ark and all that was accomplished there. So that's important, isn't it, to believe God's word and to see the answers to all these questions. He talks about in creation an amazing butterfly, the monarch butterfly, that can fly 2,500 miles from Canada to a place in the Mexican mountains without a guide. How its offspring knows how to fly back to Canada even though they have been born at some point. So you've got these migratory birds over at St Kilda. And these little birds, they're about yay big. Tiny little things. They fly down here for their annual migration. 35,000 kilometres. They fly down here for their migration and their breeding down here in the warmer area. And you say, you know, how do they know to go that far? Well, God has put it in them, but also the Holy Spirit can guide them, you know. The Lord Jesus can give them guidance, and so it goes on. Also, in order to defend the faith, we need courage and conviction. You need the courage and conviction. Even though when they slam the door, you have a flat nose, don't worry about it. Okay? And if we deny him, he will deny us. Many times we do not take a stand. And woe unto us, a sin of omission. Mark chapter 8, verse 38. Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh into the glory of his Father with his holy angels. Mark 8, 38. So take a stand for the Lord and tell the truth. It's the fear of man that holds people up. The fear of man bringeth a snare. Revelation 21, 8. But the fearful and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Revelation 21 and verse 8. So don't allow the fear of man to stop you from speaking out. Many times people who are opposing have wrong views, and it's important just to bring out the truth. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding, Proverbs 9 and 10. So also we need wisdom in dealing with Satan. Of course, it is a spiritual warfare that's going on out there. So take all of the armaments of God and put them on, especially before you go out to do visitation or direct soul-winning work. Put on the armour of God and stand in those wonderful truths. And having done all, stand. Though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet I will never be offended, Peter. Peter boasted and tried to do it his own way in his own strength, only to fall dismally. So don't go in your own strength. Take on the strength of the Lord. So the Lord should be the strength in our life as we go out with the message. Don't fear man, but fear God and take a stand for the truth. Then point 6 on page 14, we must understand the limit to apologetics. You can give every bit of information and knowledge that you have. You can point people to all sorts of things, but it's a work of the Spirit of God in the battle. And we must understand that there are limits and things that only God can do. So we need to learn to trust God. The believer must not be discouraged by the willful skeptic. So we must give out the truth of the Word of God to these people. So we don't have an answer to every question, and we ought to realize that. We don't have answer. We are not God. But God knows all the answers here, and He has revealed enough in His Word for a good-hearted person to be converted. And the wicked have a problem understanding these truths. So we must not lose sight of the reality of spiritual blindness, point number 8. None of the wicked shall understand, but the wicked, but the wise shall understand, Daniel 12:10. And so it is a battle out there going on. And the spiritual blindness is very dark in these days. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. So it's the glorious light of the gospel that is needed. The blindness is a real problem, isn't it? So also, man's will is the real battleground. The battle of the will, the battle of the will that takes place there. The Bible says, man guides his own heart and mind in Proverbs 23:19. Man chooses what he will believe regardless of the evidence. 2 Peter 3:5 speaks of willful ignorance. Peter says that men scoff because they want to walk after their own lusts. Their motive for rejecting the Holy God is their desire to disobey His laws and to live in their sins. And goes on there to mention Huxley's son. I jumped into that before. Huxley's grandson, who saw the philosophy of meaningless was essential as an instrument of liberation and sexual and political freedom. So this is the outcome of these guys' rebellion against the truth of the Word of God. Josh McDowell, who is a brilliant apologist, and there are a number of books available that he has written, and they're quite helpful. And he gives the testimony of even though knowing the truth, yet he liked the good times. Took him a while to come to grips with the reality of the situation and his own sin and to call upon Christ. Lee Strobel is another one that's written a number of different interesting books. He himself was an unbeliever and an atheist. His wife was wonderfully converted and had a real experience of salvation, and that forced him to look at the issues. He was a journalist with the Chicago paper, which was a pretty big of a deal. And so that journalistic skill set him into action to interview as many people as he could about this matter of creation and what they believed. And he was amazed because some of the best scholars that he was able to interview were born again believers and indeed were creationists. And that was a shock to him. So there's a warning there that some of these guys are new evangelicals and they will refer to all sorts of things which are doubtful. Okay, but they're good apologists, those two guys. So we must focus on God and Christ. Our reliance must be upon the Lord and upon Christ. Go to Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. We should know Acts chapter 1 and verse 8 is going to be involved in Lord's work of any kind. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. Acts 1, 8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Power. That power is still available through the filling and the empowering of the Spirit of God as we learn to rely upon the Lord. And of course, that truth, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, we need to go forward with total reliance upon the Lord. And we need to keep directing people to Christ and the miraculous work of Christ and the life of Christ, the death, burial and resurrection, and also to our great God, the Creator. We need to have a belief in a great God. He calls it here, we need to be big godders. Too many believers are little godders. God is not big enough to do great things. God is not big enough for the creation, so they have to go to a compromise of evolution. They have to take on the gap theory, all sorts of other compromises to try and hold up their faith. But, you know, that's not good enough, is it? We need to see that we have a great and mighty God who created the heaven and the earth, who is able to do all of these things. He talks about this Dr. Robert Dick, who is apparently well known and a teacher of the Word of God and creationist. And he has taught a number of students, and he's always interested in what those students are up to, and these ones that have gone to the ministry, what they believe about Christ and how big God is. When my boys come back, I come to see if they are big godders or little godders. Then I know what their ministries will be. He knows if they don't believe in the greatness and power of God, they're going to fail in ministry. So an apologist is someone that believes in a great and mighty God. Is anything too hard for the Lord? No. So we need to go forward in that. Instructed by the Lord, filled with His Spirit, relying totally on His enabling. So I trust that you will get into the course. Read every page. Read every bit of it. Read it over and over if necessary. Amen. And make sure you memorize that verse that I gave you last week as well. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer, an apologetic, to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear of the Lord, meekness and humility, having a good conscience. So we need to be those who would witness loud and clear for the Lord and stand for Him in these days. Let's bow in prayer. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the opportunity of sharing some of these truths. And I pray, Lord, that each one of us would be strengthened in our most holy faith. Help us to take the armament of God. Help us to realize, Lord, that our equipping is of you and that you are the one that would give us strength and power. And Lord, that help us to see that you are a great God and to go forward in that faith. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The Lord bless you.